This is Women's Radio Station. Welcome. I'm Sandy Goddard, presenter of This Is My Journey. I'm a business coach and brand consultant. My passion is all things business. And with me today is one of my guests, Julia Sterland, who is a figurative painter. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you.
I'm going to ask you about your journey. So in a word, how would you describe it so far?
In a word? Well, I think the journey is the same for any figurative painter, but for me, it's the way I've always seen the world. So a way of looking at the world in terms of colour, line, tone, and the journey's always been the same as a child, now, and in the future.
But you didn't always... now you spend your life painting, don't you? Every day.
Yes.
But I've that always, wasn't I've how al- you started, was it?
Yes. As a child, I painted. Terribly bored at times as a child. My brother did nothing but play the piano, and it was boring. So my only way out, and my father wouldn't pay for anything else except for paints. So the only way I could get out of the situation was to paint. So I painted from our back window in Cricklewood, where I was a child. I painted whatever I saw. I didn't have any teaching, hadn't had any teaching then, but it's what kept me from boredom. And maybe that's still the case.
And did you go to college and university and train as a painter?
No.
As an artist?
No. I trained as a doctor and did that for a long while and enjoyed it to a certain extent, to a large extent, and made some money and eventually found that I always painted throughout that time. So at medical school, I remember painting fellow students, even just before exams, I painted people. And as a doctor, I painted, and when I had young children, I painted, used watercolour more because it's difficult with oils with young children around. So I've never not painted. Mm. And then that became gradually more important to me.
So painting has been and always will be your passion.
Yes.
And yeah. So what was the that critical moment when you stopped being a GP and just focused on painting full time? How did you come to that decision?
I think it's really difficult to say. Obviously, I've gone over that a lot in my mind, and I think it's better just not to try.
And I know that you lived up in the Scottish Islands. Was it the Hebrides?
Yes, yes. I had a year there. That was where I just finished my training as a GP, actually. And I had a year there. My husband was doing his trainee year with a GP there. And I do remember, I did a lot of locums there. I enjoyed the work as a locum doctor there, actually. It was really fun. That's probably my funnest part of being a GP was in Barrow and places where you were on your own as a doctor. But painting there was difficult because I did paint, and the landscape was amazing, but I didn't have quite enough technique at my disposal. So it was frustrating as well.
Oh, I see, yes.
But it still helped me to see, and I still love North Uist, which is where we spent that year. It's a wonderful island in Scotland where you get two skies, really, because the whole island is full of lochs. So on a good day, you get a sky and a reflection of a sky.
I've seen some of your landscapes. They're absolutely wonderful.
Thank you.
I love them.
Thank you.
To let the listeners know that Julia has a house full of paintings, it's like going into a gallery. You should go to her website, www.juliasterland.com, and have a look. for yourself. Don't just believe me. And your figurative painting, I mean, from my own experience, I have seen you paint other people, and I am enthralled by your ability to capture the real person, the essence of the person. When did you discover you could do that?
Well, I've always really loved painting people. So even as a child, I did paint people in oils. I then had some training in classical painting. I've always loved Rembrandt. So my father used to take me to see the Rembrandts, which haven't changed, in the National Gallery. They're still there in room 22 at the moment. They'll always be my best friends because I've known those people since I was a child, and they're always different, and they never talk back, but they're alive. They're amazing. Go and see them. Room 22, the National Gallery. Anyway, your question was, what was your question again?
Well, actually, I'm going to interrupt you for a moment. And just remind our listeners that it's Women's Radio Station. And if they want to get in touch, it's presenters at womensradiostation.com. So I was asking you about your portrait painting.
How I started doing it. Yes. So I've always liked Rembrandt. Mm-hmm. And I had some classical training, a lot of classical training, to paint like Rembrandt, which is use of underpainting, and it takes a long time. And I have done a lot of copies at the National Gallery over the last 10 years, and they stopped the scheme for a bit, but I'm about to start another one, I hope. So I will be hopefully around there doing that. That takes a long time, and you use that technique, an underpainting which is built up over weeks, and then colour more or less important than underpainting. That's how those paintings became so alive. Now, that's one method that I use. But I've also, in order to try to achieve the freedom with which Rembrandt paints, I also do a lot of work from alive models. Now, when you work from a live model, doesn't have to be a person, although that's my favourite, but trees, anything will do. You have to be free. You have to be decisive and free. And that is what the class Rembrandt particularly had. Not only was he accurate, but also free. So if you look at a little square of, say, Titus in the Wallace collection or one of my room 22, you'll see absolute freedom of abstract painting in every detail. And that's why I needed to do a lot of work from a model as well as the more technical methods in order to bring the freedom into the technical methods. But then I found I was doing a lot of nudes and mostly just doing the body, frankly. And then I thought, well, so I might as well just try the face as well in the same free way. And that's how I started to think, well, not everyone. I wish everyone would have nudes done, but they won't. So I might as well just do portraits as well. And that's how I came to be painting faces.
I certainly think that's a wonderful, wonderful ability to have. I watched you painting my husband and...
Well, it was fun.
I just love it. It's a beautiful painting, and I do recommend anyone...
Thank you.
..to, again,
it's always it's always an adventure with this kind of painting. I never know how it'll turn out. I cannot flatter, because when you are painting from life, you are only using the side of your brain which is interested in line, colour, relationship of spaces. It's the kind of part of your brain you use when your mathematicians use it, dancers use it, taxi drivers use it. That's the brain I'm
and
using.
And GPs use it, I would imagine.
No. I don't think so. No. Maybe a tiny bit, but maybe that was the most useful bit I had of being a GP.
And if someone's listening to you at the moment who absolutely wants to follow that passion, and here we're talking about art, what would you recommend? Stop doing their day job and just focus on painting, or go
no,
to college?
I wouldn't. I'd say make a space. What I did when I had young children is I made a space in my diary between 7 and 10 where I would paint. Make that time first. Always stick to it. I found a book that helped me to work from at home. Get some teaching, get some tuition, and then go do it, but get some help.
Thank you. We're on that really valuable information. We're going to stop and take an ad break. This is Women's Radio Station, www.womensradiostation.com.